For some reason our vehicle came too closely and happened to meet a turbine jet. Our craft should really withstand this, but through an event, it passed our force field and hit a windscreen that was shattered, and in that room was Luna and Jurian, who was crushed immediately. It is extremely rare, something like this happens. We had to go down and there was when you met us. On this deck there are a number of marking lines, presumably for some sort of sports games or something like a chess game with big pieces. Several small bright rooms are apparently for relaxation, for I see that there are groups of the crew there. So we are suddenly in a small room with some furniture. I see a table, a bed, several cabinets and chairs. On one table is a small copy of the mothership. This is about 200 meters long and about 40 meters wide at the center where it is thickest. To me it looks most about an airship type of Zeppelin. Arriving in the fore peak is 6 long. It's our various instruments for controlling and more. The length depends on that they have to be outside of our force field to not be subjected to interference. It is a small device on the table that most closely resembles one of our television sets. Brony press a button and it lights up. First appearing 3 red circles. So it is filled with light and in 3-dimensional form emerges a control room in the fore peak. I see a dozen men up to light the screen, and the whole scene is reminiscent of the later we ourselves have seen in our TVs in broadcastings from the United States and the American Air, Defense/Air Monitoring, MRAD. Again, TV sets for common people was not yet ordinary, in 46 in Sweden, all are dressed in bright, airy clothes. It is from here that the entire journey is rooted. Then, an image of the stern, and I see the whole propulsion machinery. 6 huge turbines deliver the required energy, and 6 turbine rays account for the move. But these are rotatable and the entire control is by means of these. He explains that with the speed of the craft, this is the only option. A large part of the energy needed is captured directly from space, but a special reactor with quartz generators can be deployed as extra if required. In some places in space are the areas where the power supply is too weak. We should have a look for a moment on the upper deck, then I'll show you some interesting pictures. It shows to be that the upper deck appears to be a single large maze with different engines and instruments. But everything is in total silence. Now, I also noticed a light detail. The strange bright lights appearing everywhere leaves no shadows. Bilok equipments, table, or other details are just as bright and a very pleasant light. So we are back in his room. On the table are also something that I perceive as photograph frames. But the photographs. When he touches the first, it lights up slash on and in a 3-dimensional form emerges a very beautiful, dark-haired woman. She was both moving and talking, and it seems as if she was present in the room. Then he lifts the second frame with a picture of 2 cute children which to me seems to be in the 6 to 8 years old. Alert and happy they talk, but also in an incomprehensible language. It is my wife and my children, a boy and a girl. In this 3-dimensional shape seems these pictures fantastic live and I can understand that he, during long voyages constantly has an incredible touch with home. It hits me then that this must be the future of photographs also on our part, a kind of hologram. We have a number of observation points on planets which is under development and we provide assistance as you yourselves throughout the ages, have been given. It is one of our tasks. I will now show the section of recordings that we made during our trips. In 1948, I had never seen television, it had just begun in the US. So appears a very dark picture on the device. Sometimes you can glimpse, in the front a few rays of sunlight that quickly becomes dark again. Shown anatomic war results. You will now see what it looks like when having used the powerful nuclear bombs. On this planet, you now are staring at, there were 2 superpowers, both had nuclear weapons but could not agree. A nuclear war broke out and probably fell a strong hydrogen bomb in a deep in one of their oceans, which exploded on the bottom and so triggered a chain reaction, whereby all existing hydrogen exploded. The violent explosion extinguished all life, everything was burned and the water steamed away. The planet itself did not fall apart, but was destroyed for all eternity. So captures an image to something that can be a mountain ridge or the remains of any building. I see how soot and ash hangs in large chunks. Sometimes it releases and plummets to the ground. So will some sun rays come through the thick clouds that are now all around this poor, dead planet. Not one single life, nothing else but an eternal darkness has been the result of this discord. When I today, in the year 1994, is writing down these comments, I cannot suppress a shudder when I think of how incredibly close we ourselves were under the so-called Cuban Missile Crisis. Might our understanding, yet now having passed, understood these terrible results. So, the next screen section. Now I see only a bright and almost completely normal village. I see cities, villages, individual houses, forests and meadows. But then I notice that it burns in several places. The film reproduces all the sounds, so I can follow the whole course of events, the action. I see a young woman with a little girl by the hand, running across a field toward a bombed house. A large block, perhaps of cement, have been set up against the housing side. She runs over this with the girl that seemed to carry something resembling a doll. Also a small dog is following. It is in the very last hour, because in the horizon, I see now a vast air armada. In mid flies a number of big planes and at the sides a number lower. All are constructed the same. They are similar to ours but has no rudder. Propulsion and steering is apparently directly from the stern. I see up close one of the smaller planes. Through something similar to plexiglass, I see two airmen sitting side by side. How to react both, slowing down to almost zero and has apparently captured something interesting. Their thermal detectors have been captured something alive under cement platform, said my friend. So runs, suddenly the little dog out. The man at the side of the pilot aimed a gun at the dog. I see a flame, how the dog exploded into pieces and catching fire. It was a laser weapon he used, says my friend. Then maybe the others escaped, I objected. No, not at all. Wait and see. It is clear that the flight plans have understood more, because now increases the fly speed as making a turn and returns on the same course. Again, I see how the two pilots talking upset with each other, slowing down, and so drop something like a polished football. The plane accelerates violently and then a burst. For a moment you can only see a dirt cloud, but worst of all, on the outskirts I observe a little arm that is soon after catching fire. Perhaps it was from the dock, but more likely from the little girl. This war has shifted to pure extermination of each other, he says, and will not stop until everything is destroyed. So even without nuclear weapons takes such horrors place, on some planets. It was an electron bomb that ended the two. Though I see all this from a distance, I feel physically ill. Now I'll show you some pictures of my own planet, which is a bit more friendly, says Brony quickly. I see a picture of a planet, first from distance and amazing like the image that we are now here in 1994, see as the start of our evening report, but only the big difference. The entire is in the three-dimensional shape. Gradually emerges forests, meadows, rivers, large lakes and cities. I know again, recognize the two large pyramids as I mentioned earlier, and it strikes me that excellent orientation marks these may have been. From the high altitude and at speed quick, they need to be excellent for all to be seen. I see the streets, I see people in the city, something similar to parks, people sitting outside, might be shops. But all show a great peace and contentment. So it strikes me that I see very little children, and in the meadows no animals, but possibly something similar to horses. As if he has read my mind, he now says, we have a completely different lifespan than what you and people of your planet have. We have solved that problem with the cells that I previously talked to you about. We have better food and a completely healthy nature. We do not breed up or slaughtering animals. We manufacture our main food of plants cultivated in the same varieties as you may do. Through a special process, it do not need to go through the animals to be slaughtered, but we get better and healthier food, that is also enjoyable. But we drink a kind of tea that we have produced for thousands of years and that is both healthy and tasty. All major traffic goes through tunnels under the streets and electricity is our sole propellant. This we get mostly from the enormous amount available in space. We have 12 transformers stationed as satellites, as L. For our planet, electrical energy is taken down almost in the same terms as in a thunderstorm to 24 power plants, and then, with no trouble, to everything necessary. We have turned the rivers, we've blown off the mountain, irrigated and cultivated the deserts. There are no starvation, no diseases at all, no problems similar to yours. Hate, envy and viciousness we have come past since thousands of years ago. You should also, with your current intelligence, transform your planet in the same way and achieve the peace and contentment that we have. So far, you have too much left of the natural laws, animal instincts, that ruled your planet before you went on to become a thinking man and started to act alone. Natural laws hate overpopulation, this is so for all living, and there are some governor mechanisms, who constantly engages in that. This applies to diseases, starvation and even wars, all only temporary expedients, as the thinking man himself had the right to change, and exclusively serve to prevent overpopulation. All these problems you now have opportunities to come to terms with, but you also have the ability to completely destroy your planet so that it is similar to the movie I showed you. So I look at the film views from different places with lakes, rivers, orchards, flowers of various kinds. Everything breathes somehow a quiet peace, and now, so long after this event, I think that such must paradise look like. Another thing I notice is that the sunlight is not as strong as here, but reminiscent more of violet color and is certainly much healthier than one our sun. Amazingly enough, I now remember a question I often had in mind. Would it not be possible for myself and my family to go with you and remain on this wonderful planet? He looks interested in me and as he explains, Gosta, I must tell you that there are no shortcuts. We have a very different air and food, quite another bacterial system, and all this has to be acquired over/for a long time. But, as I explained before, you have these very possibilities of your planet yourself. It you just have to use them in sorted way, and that should surely be something for your politicians to think about. There's a price for everything and that you must be prepared to pay. You can never do more than your best, but it is often enough. The only possibility, for to stay there, is that the newborn child is with us, but still would not get the same opportunities as we. Although I'm not particularly interested, I will think about our own Christianity and Jesus, that I read about in school and which may be able to get an explanation to. I talk about this whole story about the new star, the white-robed angels, and if the baby in the manger. Could it be that way to an extraterrestrial civilization decided to help us from our cruel time to give us advice and counsel? By placing one of their own, who could possess all these qualities? Undeniably resembles the story we learned about the new star, the white angels, and then the great thing this young man eventually turned out to perform, far above what his fellows at the time could understand. Was the new star a mothership/vehicle parked in orbit around the Earth? While he made a descent and placed the child by Joseph and Mary? Were the angels who appeared here astronauts from the alien planet and had this mission? The peculiarities which then occurred when Jesus grew up and was brought back to this planet after a number of years, is according to historical inquiry, and then he returned to his pupils? He replied that this was not at all impossible. They themselves had done the same thing with 30 planets that they had assigned to monitor and help. Probably was this event conducted by another space people, as he, himself, called the Pyramid Builders, and that they came from a large planet about 50 light years from our planet, in our way of judging distance. Rune comment of this, yes, it is quite near the explanation of this event that is told in Talmud Shmanuel, and some similar to the explanations of the space, contact, Women Thou, in 87, regarding this. And in the Rampa book The Hermit, it is described very close to this story as Gösta was told here, from the visitors in Sweden in 1946 regarding Jesus. These people have visited a large number of planets, and typical for them is that in every place they have always started with building pyramids, partly for their own defense, partly to always assess, measure their position. At high altitude and fast speeds it's possible to find such a building exactly. Their pyramids were never built to be the royal tombs, but in some cases could it happen that they needed some help from the indigenous population, and then this was a viable reason. We have examined our own two pyramids, which are built on exactly the same way as your great pyramid, Cheops pyramid. Below our two pyramids, we have found chambers in the bedrock, and we have drilled tunnels. In one we found equipment that had been left of from the pyramid people, and we had a tremendous benefit of. It was namely a device that had the ability to suspend the gravity, and it means there has not been any difficulty to lift these giant stones onto the exact location. The attraction is probably due to some form of space radiation, and if one can repeal this, the work will be no problem. We also found levelers, grinding equipment, so we could today be able to perform the same work. The commander told us that the pyramid people visited both his as our planet for about 100,000 years ago. It was a particularly well-developed space nation with outstanding researchers and scientists. They had even gone further than we, ourselves. The pyramid, which constituted their secure refuge during the exploration of the planet, was placed always at its center of gravity of the continental masses in order to provide a safe mark for navigation of their aircrafts. In the central chamber were channels for the various instruments they needed. According to the master, pilot, the pyramid people placed several groups with different tasks at different places on Earth. He meant that it was possible that some of them stayed and then gave rise to the Jewish people, thus inherited his ancestors' characteristics. Asisp. Sam Jace gives more details on and described. R.O. remark. Themselves at last found a suitable planet, much larger than yours, and with the sun in exactly the correct distance. To the they moved their entire population because of their sun's behavior. It had become increasingly difficult to inhabit. We also discussed how it is that people on Earth time after time was allowed to fight hard wars that is about to obliterate people, without any higher power intervenes. It is one of the trials on the way to the next phase of development, he answers. You have the very possibility of a comfortable life, or a total destruction. Your planet could become a real paradise where you all reach a high age, and no diseases. But why did we get the recipe for the atomic bombs? Why did Albert Einstein use his vast knowledge in this context? I describe how Einstein, like myself, during certain nights of half-stupor had contact with extraterrestrial men who gave him several intricate theories in which, among others, nuclear weapons were included. Several of these could neither he nor others find out of. This was probably the biggest mistake he could do. All of learning/knowledge that one gets in this way should be used only for peaceful purposes, and as a punishment, he certainly got a blockage so that he could not decipher many of his further theories. But your description of him, and the Jews, with their interesting way of life, makes me think of the population of the big planet I mentioned earlier. It is located about 50 light years from your own. Here my friend light up a globe of nearly half a meter in diameter. I've seen it before but thought it was some sort globe. Now, it proved to be a piece of space with a diameter of perhaps 100 light years. All suns were marked with yellow color, all the planets with black and inhabited planets had a yellow stripe where the thickness varied with the population's development/growth. So were the Jews' development, marked by a sharp yellow perimeter. Unfortunately, my knowledge of astronomy very flawed, but I understood it must be a part of our own Milky Way. Then he points to a small yellow ring. This is your sun and your planet. Judging by the placement, our planet must be located in our Milky outskirts, almost as it were in the wilderness of this. Remark, this was about 70 years ago, Rune remark. I also notice that between some suns and planets are lines which I understand to be routes for alien spacecraft. But our own planet must have been completely sterile in the beginning, even after it had these huge amounts of water in lakes and oceans, I say. It is true, he replies, but it happens that from space, perhaps with the help of the meteors, so harbors bacteria of a particular type in this sterile water. Their task is to destroy the sulfur and phosphorus, and after millions of years, it is purified and bacteria fall to the bottom, in incredible amounts. Sediments formed on top of them and with time, you get what you refer to as oil. Then begins the life, forms in quite definite regular order. Oxygen are formed and eventually the planet are habitable for humans. The oxygen content stabilizes and this is one of the most important thing you should be focused on. 10 million years ago we had a fauna composed of very large animal forms we call dinosaurs. But suddenly these died out. For what reason? As I explained earlier, he says, so alternated the animal forms in connection with the oxygen development. The first animal forms had the same need for oxygen, as like these. But, while the oxygen was stabilized with respect to the vegetation, it could shift more or less, and since the dinosaurs were almost half a fish, they choked simply in the same way if you leave a live fish on land. There was enough oxygen, but still they died. That it takes so long for people to adapt to a new planet is simply because of the oxygen. But some of the big forms of life were able to return to the water and adapt accordingly. When he notices that I doubt this life path, he continues, but just think. How have yourself been formed? The microscopic egg and a microscopic sperm grain, in this, is all, physical scene, you represented. If you think this is strange, you must have the greatest respect for the one who decides on everything and can do so remarkable things. As I previously talked about, I now find myself in his room in the huge ship. Again, he switches on the picture and now first comes the usual sight. I see a planet from a great height, almost reminiscent of those pictures we ourselves now, in 1994, watch in our television before the weather and news. Then, the image gradually becomes clearer, and in three dimensions, I see lakes, forests, towns and villages on a sunny beautiful planet. I see people who are old/archaic/strange dressed and what I perceive they could have been, 2,000, 3,000 years back in time. So captures the image a sunlit garden with an old house in the background and a paved street. I hear a very beautiful song and so emerges 10 girls, perhaps 10 years or something. Suddenly is heard from the street a clumping sound of many feet. All the girls are rushing into the house and I see on the street a military column. In the lead is perhaps 400 men, each with a helmet, coat of some material, spear and a short sword. The legs are provided with guard, rails and iron, sandals. After them, perhaps as many prisoners with their hands tied and united with ropes, 4 a side. All have naked breasts and only a loincloth for protection. Then is a small gap, and perhaps as many prisoners follow after them. Bound in the same way and on the bodies, is seen big brands from assault or even after the war. While the first groups of prisoners in every way is reminiscent of ourselves, the last are of a completely different race. Black bearded heads, surely over 2 meters tall, and with black overgrown hair. Alongside the prisoners go a number of guards equipped with short swords and whips, as they frequently use on prisoners' bare andly backs. I can clearly see the severe marks of lashes and even worse, I hear all the time their groaning. I see that the paved street goes up a level, and against the background is seen a blue ocean. The street ends in a cliff, maybe 200 meters deep, and a beach filled with sharp rocks. The last few 100 meters are provided with a funnel, shaped entrance with high walls. To the right goes down, a steep staircase, perhaps 100 meters and ends by, into the rock, carved balcony. A stone table with a large gong stands in the middle. I see that dishes of fruit, beverage cans and more are on the table. In something resembling a throne sits a man who is likely to be the emperor himself. For the first time I see a monster with a wide coat with several necklaces of any metal and a look that would scare anyone. He may well be 160, 165 centimeters tall, completely bald and with some sort of crown on his head. But the color of the face seems almost yellow, green, he has black teeth and the most evil face I've ever seen. It seems to be an incarnation of the devil himself that we here on our planet always are fantasizing about. A gray beard, divided into two tips, perfects my impression of a real monster. On the stone benches around him sits 50 men, all armed with short swords, and is apparently his bodyguard. Some more off, a rock shoot out to the sea, and on this are a lot of people, and there is quite clear that some sort of spectacle slash play is imminent. The long column of soldiers and prisoners have been halted, waiting apparently of a signal. So rises the emperor himself and hit three heavy blows on the gong, as is heard for miles. The first ranks of prisoners arrives between the walls and now I understand the whole ceremony. The prisoners were to be overthrown out of the precipice and crushed on the jagged cliffs on the beach. Now guards are using whips more diligent and even spears used when the prisoners are not voluntarily going over the cliff edge. The screams of horror from these unfortunate is almost unbearable, but in no way affect the emperor who apparently gets some kind of physical orgasm of this, that allows him getting up and shaking all over. Then he strikes the gong and marks with his hand, faster, faster. I see how some giant black birds, surely with 3 or 4 meters wingspan, flies down and begins to feast on these human corpses. Finally, there were a few hundred and it is probably some sort of vultures. When nearly all of the first part of the prisoners are rushed down, comes the black, bearded, but now there happens suddenly something unexpected. Some prisoners in the middle of the stages somehow been free from the ropes. They throw themselves over the nearest few soldiers and get hold of spears and swords. Very quickly they cut off their ropes and a fight occurs that ends with most of the soldiers sticks to death. A number runs back to the city, while the other is driven by the black, bearded, that are now well, armed and are given no regard. Some are driven into the funnel to the cliff slash precipice and some try to reach the stone steps down to the bodyguard. Then the emperor and his bodyguard see with surprise that it is their own soldiers now thrown over the edge and crushed on the rocks. The bodyguards are apparently been giving orders to head up the stone stairs to help, but it is already too late. Some 50 of the black, bearded has driven a number of soldiers out forward and the actual staircase beginning, these are being beaten down and now blocking the ability of the guards to come up and assist. Even the balcony is filled with corpses and soon are alone just the emperor remaining. But now I see that the water has risen maybe 15 or 20 meters at the water's edge, there is apparently some sort of ebb and flow. The entire scenery which has also changed. Instead of vultures, there are now some sort of fish that feast on people's corpses. The water literally boils when they compete of those. And so I recognize the fishes on the big triangle fin. These are sharks, and big sharks, perhaps 25 meters long and with the head and teeth such. After having beaten down all of bodyguards, is rushing some 10 of the black, bearded down and now to take the emperor. One of them takes him by the legs while another takes his shoulders, and then you throw him over the balcony railing, on a drop, fall of nearly 100 meters. The last thing you hear from him is the horror screams and even before he reached the water, are the swirling sharks waiting for him. The moment he breaks the water's surface, he is cut from one of the beasts by the leg and another at the shoulders. A blow with the tail and the man is split and each with half the sharks dive down to the depths. Some blood stains on up to the surface is all that remains. The crowd on the cape has also disappeared. Apparently it has been understood that something has gone wrong and you know obviously their ruler's wrath. But then comes the images from the surviving soldiers. In a run they have reached barracks or garrison, and out streams more armed soldiers. Perhaps 1,000 who starts moving along the road towards the precipice. Just forward of this, the black, Bearded have set up in the square with the spears and swords utmost, securely preparing the last bit of battle. But then something new happens. At about 100 meters from the square stops the whole soldier squad.